Coming up on show 1032, continued excitement from the investment world into EVs as a rival list and go public with a $13 billion valuation. Also, on the podcast today, we'll talk Rimac opening a new R&D centre here in the UK. Tesla take issue with Edmunds over range claims. And Kona EV owners not particularly happy with how the recall's going, so we'll dig into that. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. For Thursday, 25th of March, my name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. So Arrival, the British startup that makes, or will make, zero emissions public transit vehicles, has listed on the NASDAQ with a current valuation of $13 billion, making it one of the largest ever listings of a UK tech company. Now, the company's founder is a Russian telecoms tycoon, and he owns about three quarters of Arrival at the point of IPO, according to the filings of the SEC. He is worth, well, he's worth a lot more, but his stake in Arrival at the moment is worth $9.8 billion. Says sifted.eu website. Well, the first 5 years of Arrival, Sverdlov funded the company himself. He piled $450 million into it. So, you know, personally, if someone's going to put $450 million into a company, which is a big, risky move in terms of EVs, 5 years ago, 2015, this was started. Frankly, if he's come out with it with a nice reward at the end of it from a lot of hard work and a lot of risk as well. Well, he's done okay out of this. In 2020, Arrival raised $300 million from Hyundai, BlackRock, and some funders in Russia as well. It's developing a zero-emissions EV for commercial use. They're using composites that the company says are lighter and cheaper than steel. Arrival says its cars can be customized to specific companies' requirements and needs. Last October, did a deal with the United Parcel Service to provide 10,000 vehicles and an option to buy 10,000 more. That's a $1.2 billion deal. Arrival is trialing their electric buses on public roads soon this year as well. And they say their projects are being cash flow positive in 2 years and profit of $4 billion in 3 years. So a really interesting company there in terms of not making road cars that, you know, will get a lot of attention, but commercial vehicles, and going around it in a way that's very interesting. Their philosophy is about micro factories close to major cities. They say there are 560 cities with a population of 1 million or more, which have the potential to support a micro factory. They say it's as scalable as a Starbucks franchise, starting just north of London, somewhere called Bicester, and Rock Hill in South Carolina, their first two places. They got plans for 34, I think, in the next couple of years. So congratulations there to the team at Arrival. I know a company that has plenty of fans, actually, and I saw a Fully Charged video of that recently. It's one of their most watched videos, so clearly a lot of interest in it as well from their viewers. So a bit of good news there, and again, loads of investment excitement around EVs, which doesn't really, you know, affect you and I day to day, but it does. It does legitimise, you know, electric vehicles in the eyes of some people who were doubters. That's all I'll say on that. Next, we'll talk Rimac. Of course, the Croatian high-performance company Rimac have just cut the ribbon on their first R&D facility in the UK, gearing up for launch of the C_2 electric hypercar, whatever it's called when it's launched. Maybe they'll call it the C2, who knows. Says Autocar, based in Warwickshire. The R&D centre will employ 30 people by the end of the year. Rimac said it could expand significantly in years to come as the company progresses its product lines, and the office is collaborating with headquarters in Croatia, enabling them to take advantage of British engineering. And Matej Rimac, the founder, says that British engineers are among the best in the world, which is why he wanted an office here to do the R&D work. Interesting. Next, Tesla are taking issue with a range test which Edmunds did. In response to an independent range test, Tesla reportedly claimed that the EPA range on its vehicles can be achieved. The EPA range is real if you drain the battery beyond 0 miles. Now, this is a really interesting thing because it's not coming from Tesla's communications or PR. I mean, they don't really have those people that the auto industry can reach out to anymore. Of course, that person is the CEO and his Twitter account. So it's interesting, but by the look of it, Electrek reporting on the Edmunds range tests on a bunch of Teslas and comparing them to the EPA, the results showed that Tesla is using the most optimistic possible version of the EPA estimated range in their advertising, according to Fred at Electrek. He says that now Edmunds is out with a follow-up report, which they claim Tesla reached out to them, but not the usual channels of communications people or press people, that actually it was the engineers at Tesla who called Edmunds and said they should have accounted for a buffer. That buffer comes after the car has reached 0 miles. I don't know if I agree with that, because if the car says zero, it's zero. You don't think, you know what, I'm going to go 100 miles, the car says it'll do 95, I assume I'll get there. Because then if you stopped with 5 miles to go, somebody would say, well, the car said it would do 95 and you were trying to do 100. But Tesla's saying, no, drive past zero and you'll go further. I'm not sure that's the official advice. Edmunds said, needless to say, Tesla was not happy with our tests, and we received a phone call. Tesla's engineers disputed our figures. They argued that we'd underestimated their car's true range because our test ran to indicated zero rather than the car breaking down to a full stop. Tesla argued that even when the indicated range in the car says zero, there's still a buffer. The engineers reckon that if you add the buffer, the distance measured to when the battery is spent, their cars do in fact hit the EPA number, which they give. Our answer to Tesla's dismay, says Edmunds, with our initial test is that yes, two of their cars can match EPA if you drive them under special circumstances, very specific, and each one all the way past zero until you break down, have a tow truck ready to collect you, you can hit EPA range. That is an interesting to and fro, and it's just a curious one where, again, normally communications people or people who have relationships with companies like Edmunds would either have that existing relationship where they could clarify the EPA testing and the procedure and what the EPA numbers are, but it's weird for the engineers to be calling Edmunds. And also, is that now official advice? Clearly not. Clearly not. Don't drive your car past zero and then complain that it stopped. But it is a new way of... It's a different way of going about business. Many companies have departments that will help other people understand their products and services, whether that's comms people or PR people or whatever. But of course, whilst there are still many people in Tesla who are experts in communication, marketing, and PR, etc., they don't technically maybe have that job title, or it's not their job to reach out to the press. So, well, it's interesting. I kind of see Edmund's point. Once the car hits zero, that's kind of the range test. But there you go. Right, moving on. Europe has more than 600 Tesla supercharging stations, the moat of all moats that Elon Musk says he doesn't believe in moats. I mean, the software, I go between the software and the superchargers being the best thing about Teslas. The batteries are obviously amazing, and the powertrain, drivetrain's obviously amazing, the motors, but I think that the two things that they still lead everybody in is the software and the superchargers. The software can be copied quicker, probably, I think, than actually the infrastructure of the supercharging network. It's just brilliant. It just works, and they're everywhere, and there's loads of them. And new data coming out of Tesla proves that. The number of supercharging stations here in Europe exceeded 600 in 27 countries and 6,000 individual charging stalls. Well, more than that. It's more than the average of 10 stalls a station. It's wonderful if you're a Tesla owner, because it's almost certain that you'll be able to charge here in Europe wherever you go. I know I've seen, you know, my friends in the US, and I see on social media around holiday times, there's kind of queues at the big stations, etc. But I've never seen that over here, at least, well, not in the UK. I've never driven around Europe in a Tesla. There were less than 20 stations at the end of 2013. The first supercharger was in Norway when the first Model S entered the Norwegian market. As of the end of 2014, it got to 110, 200 in 2015. At the beginning of last year, it was 500, now exceeding 600. And according to Inside EVs, the largest station in Europe is in Norway, somewhere called Nebenes, with 44 stalls. Europe is no longer the second biggest market, though, for superchargers. Tesla have been on a rip in China. Now more than 925 stations, which is close to the 1,125 in the US. I still believe their proprietary, you know, technology, their walled garden is the reason to buy a Tesla above all others. But like I say, software coming a close second, and then lots of other things, you know, not far down the list. But I do think the superchargers, I think that's the thing. Feel free to disagree. Let me know. Email me. Tell me anytime I'm wrong on any of these stories. It's fine. It's fine. The end of Tesla's dominance, says Bloomberg, is near. Now, the head of VW doesn't date a pop star, publicly smoke blunts, or profess to want to die on Mars. But Herbert Diess is looking and sounding a lot like Elon Musk in some ways. The chief exec of Volkswagen Group kicked off their Power Day on March 15th, modelled on Tesla's Battery Day, declaring there's only one way to reduce transportation emissions, and that is pure electric, says Bloomberg. EVs are shifting away from what once seemed like a one-man show to what is an extravaganza on a crowded stage. VW has as good a chance as anyone to top the bill, says Bloomberg. What's less clear is the rest of the cast. Tesla has done to the auto industry what Netflix did to cable TV, speeding the shift from internal combustion in much the same way as Breaking Bad and your favourite Netflix series caused you to cancel your cable contract. At least in the US, it was a big change. So I don't know whether you agree with that or not. I do. You know, rumors of Tesla's death are vastly exaggerated. They're going nowhere soon. There's just more people at the party, but it's all right. We've all bunched up. There's room for some more. Just because VW, I think, also going to have a great few years, and I think there's some others just behind VW. It doesn't mean that Tesla has to lose, so it's not that zero sum. Do you know what I mean? But clearly, there's a finite market for cars, but we're a long way from that. So I think it's all brilliant. The more the merrier. The more the merrier, please. Now, companies are moving into certain areas which haven't normally been associated with car making and doing the local economy a huge service. And we're talking about the new normal today. That would be in central Illinois. Best known for auto insurance, corn and soybeans, now finding itself hosting Rivian, a startup with its own expertise in lithium-ion batteries and cloud computing. The majority of new vehicles sold worldwide in the next 10, 15 years are going to be fully electric, and Rivian are going to get a big slice of that because, according to CNN, the town of Normal in Illinois are feeling the effects of how big they're growing. Some real estate agents asking potential homeowners to, or home buyers, I suppose I should say, to submit offers hours after the open house, before they've seen it sometimes. And local real estate agents saying they haven't seen this in 35 years of business. Hotels are filling up with Rivian employees, defying the national trend of vacancies because of the pandemic. And so it's a town, maybe that's a city, that is having a huge influx and is doing really well. And that's thanks to electric cars, and it's thanks to Rivian bringing so much investment into the area. And that is another positive news story all around EVs. Just something, you know, we talk about the cars and the batteries all the time, but when I get a chance to put a story like this in the podcast, I love it because it's good news. Kona EV drivers next in the news. Are you one? I'd love to hear from you. Don't want to focus on bad news. Some owners of Hyundai's Kona say that the South Korean car maker is bungling a major recall with delays and poor communication and risks losing future buyers. Hyundai said last month it's going to replace the battery in 82,000 electric vehicles globally, costing about $900 million US dollars, following some fires in Kona, about 15, says Yahoo Finance, and it's perfectly safe. Just don't charge your car all the way to the top, I think was the official advice. Please check with your local dealer or Hyundai expert. But I believe that's what the advice is keep it. Don't go all the way to the top. It's absolutely safe if you own a Kona. But Hyundai has yet to convey a clear plan, says Yahoo, to owners on when and how they will get their batteries replaced. That's interesting. Again, I don't want to focus on bad news. Don't know how true the story is. Could just be a bit of sensationalism. But I would love to, if you are a Kona owner, you know, reach out and, you know, either in confidence or not, tell me your experiences and how it's going, you know, with the recall. Next, we'll talk about hybrid values. You know, the kind of cars that are described as the thing that doesn't actually exist. The pandemic's impact on things like the private hire industry has severely affected the second-hand prices of hybrids. Non-plug-in models is what we're talking about here. Normally, the de facto choice of an Uber driver, well, thanks to reliability and suitability for driving around town, because of the pandemic, there's been a reduction in that market, and also, therefore, prices of so-called self-charging hybrids, although we know they don't exist. People are catching on and realizing that they don't want one. I want a car with a plug socket, thanks. Prices of these so-called self-charging hybrids, ones that are maybe 3 years old and have done average miles, just dropped 10%. Values of used petrol self-charging hybrids fell by 16.9% alone week beginning 8th of February. Nobody wants them anymore. So, hey, if you got one, get shot of it quick and don't get caught with an absolute lemon on your driveway. And certainly if you hear from somebody buying one, don't let them buy a diesel. Don't let them buy one of these terrible, terrible non-electric cars. Get something with a plug socket if you possibly can. And I mean, hey, everyone knows this. No such thing as a self-charging hybrid. Right, final story. Heavy-duty trucking may be the next big frontier in the electric vehicle story, transitioning all of the United States medium and heavy-duty trucks to zero emissions by even 2040 is going to lead to cumulative population-related savings of $500 billion, according to Senior Manager of State Policy at Ceres, Jennifer Helfrich. According to Utility Dive, California is the national leader when it comes to electrifying that really dirty, heavy transportation. Other states are following suit now. And zero-emissions vehicles are going to make up 100% of the light-duty stuff in California by 2035, including short-haul and those medium-duty trucks. The stakes, California at least, they're full transition to EV by 2040. But I think that's going to be later than it'll happen anyway. I think that'll take care of itself. And that's your podcast for today. Well, thank you so much for listening. There is 1,031 shows in the archive. The blog, if you want to check it out, ev.news, I'd love you to. I'd invite you to have a look at the blog for anything we've ever covered on this podcast. Have a look at Patreon. Thank you very much to everyone that supports on that, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. New premium partner to launch on Sunday, sponsoring Question of the Week, which returns. That's amazing. He's been on the show before. Super looking forward to that. Our existing premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Paul Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.